Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Party district leaders, they're like the spleen of politics. Not the headliner among internal organs, but really important. Or maybe they're more like drive belts. The car needs them to run, but they're usually an afterthought. I really do hope my analogies have helped. In Brooklyn, the number one spleen is Vito Lopez, even though you probably haven't heard of him. Behind the scenes, he's pulling the strings of New York politics, and he's been doing it for years. This year, Assemblyman Lopez and Kings County Democratic Party boss Lopez, he's the same guy, he's facing a large number of opposition candidates. They're running against his organization, trying to gain control of the Brooklyn Democratic machine. You probably aren't paying attention to the races this far down on the ballot, but you probably should be, and that's according to New York Observer reporter David Friedlander, who's been covering the district races in Brooklyn. Hey, David.
Hey, how are you?
And WNYC's own political reporter, Ozzy Pebara, is with me as well. Ozzy, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I've never said your name out loud, so I apologize, but it's Pebara.
No,
I've
it's
only
fine.
Heard it on the radio.
I've been Pebara? Called worse.
All right. My bad. So, Ozzy, take off. Tell us why we should care about district leader races in general.
Well, they are important because they are the people that sort of put into power the county leader. Now, Democratic politics and inter-party politics are really important because these are the people that sort of make endorsements and set in motion a chain of events that lead people to get into elected office. It's usually a lot easier for someone to win a city council race, sometimes even a congressional race or legislative race, if they have county support. The way those counties and those organizations make decisions about who to support when there's a vacancy, it really depends on the personalities about the people that are actually in office. And one of the ways you decide who becomes the county leader is by picking the right kind of electorate that votes within that organization for people like Vito Lopez.
So why so Vito Lopez, he runs Brooklyn or Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Democratic machine. David, why is he, I don't know if we could say he's in trouble, but why is he drawing opposition?
Well, he's always been sort of a lightning rod. I mean, Vito Lopez sort of looks the part of an old school Tammany boss in a lot of ways. He's continually been dogged by allegations of corruption. He runs a huge social service agency in his district, and he is very popular in his district among his constituents, but among the political class, you always hear a lot of grumbling that he runs the county organization with too strong of a heavy hand. So this year, a number of reformers, mostly coming out of a political club called the New Kings Democrats, who were basically formed in the wake of the 2008 Obama election, have been running candidates for these obscure party positions to try to get enough momentum to oust Vito Lopez as a county leader.
How does Vito Lopez get elected? He's not elected directly, right? Voters don't elect the party boss.
No, I mean, they elect him to his assembly seat, but then the district leaders, also known as state committee members, in Brooklyn, they happen to be one and the same, they get together and elect them. And there's two district leaders for each assembly district.
And one man, one woman.
One man,
right?
One woman.
Yeah.
So, and so they get together and they elect Lopez. And for years, you know, the Kings County organization has been dogged by corruption for years, long before Lopez was county leader. And so it's these folks who get together and they decide whether or not he'll remain. And there's been a movement among them to maybe find some new leadership.
Could you tell us a little about, Ozzy, could you tell us a little about some of the Kings, what is the name, the Kings?
New Kings Democrats.
New Kings Democrats. Yeah. Who are these people? Are these Yes We Can Democrats?
I mean, you could definitely say that. Like, part of what's happening is this idea that there's always, like, some kind of tension between an establishment and anti-establishment. I mean, coming out of the Obama campaign, they were very much, you know, if you want to say the Yes We Can Democrats, but they were going against the establishment that you can consider the Clinton operation. So what you're seeing is like something very similar. You have an institutional, you know, group, you know, Vito Lopez, and there's younger people who, you know, you could argue don't want to wait their turn. They want to feel like they're the ones in charge, so they're running against the machine. So there's always this kind of tension between the people who are in control and people that want to be in control. One of the races, just to kind of give an example as to like what is some of the dynamics here. One of the candidates is Lincoln Ressler, who is a 26-year-old guy. He worked a little bit for the city council, you know, nice smile, reform, blah, 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 like all that kind of stuff. He's running against a district leader by the last name of Cohen, who's been a district leader for 27 years. He was a district leader for longer than his challenger has been alive. So that just gives you an example as to some of the dynamics that happened in this race. It's like arguably it's some generational shift between people that are in and people that want to be in.
You were going to say there?
I was actually going to follow up on that. Actually, if I could just fact check briefly there. Yeah. The Steve Cohn, who has been for the district leader for 27 years, dropped out of the race when he was facing a challenge for the first time by Lincoln Ressler. And so the person who is running in Steve Cohn's place is his son Warren Cohn.
And there are a lot. And
too
I noticed
many Cohns. Too many Cohns.
But I also notice a lot of these names are this, a lot of nepotism. Right. There's a lot of the same name going on.
There's one district leader spot. Could have the details long in Brooklyn, where I think there was a divorce, and so the woman is no longer the party back candidate for district leader.
Uh-huh. So did anyone say Lincoln Ressler? I think he's on the line. Hey, Lincoln.
How are you this morning?
So give me, I don't know, your stump speech, or why are you going to be different than the old guard?
Well, I am a native Brooklynite, and what we're trying to do in 2010 is build a stronger, more active, community-oriented Brooklyn Democratic Party. It is amazing to me that in the 21st century, in Brooklyn, New York, we still have an old-school political machine out of another era. The time has come for community-oriented, progressive politics in Brooklyn. And through this position, we can bring reform-oriented, progressive leadership to our Brooklyn Democratic Party, which will have a tremendous influence on who our local elected officials are, how politics operate in our community. This is a new paradigm.
Okay, Lincoln, we're gonna play a little impromptu Meet the Press. We didn't know you were calling in. But Ozzy, take it away. You've been covering these races.
Lincoln, I was wondering if you could just tell me in sort of a concrete detail, tangibly, what would you do differently, and what would people see as a difference if you were elected? How would things be different?
Well, I see this position as opportunity to be a strong local organizer and advocate for our neighborhoods. And what my running mate Kate Zeider and I plan to do are regular town hall forums throughout the district with local elected officials, with city agencies that have a role in neighborhood issues, leading voter registration campaigns, getting more people in our neighborhoods engaged and involved and organized in what's happening in local politics. The community's voice is not being heard. You know, the district that I'm running in, the 50th Assembly District, which is Fort Greene, Clinton Hill, Williamsburg, and Greenpoint, has experienced a lot of changes in the last decade. And the voices and the concerns of longtime residents are not being heard. And we need to organize ourselves as a community, as a neighborhood, to flex our political muscle to preserve the affordability of our neighborhood.
Well, I don't know if that gets to the tangibly part of the question, but I'll let David Friedlander follow up. David Friedlander of The Observer, your question?
Lincoln, what would a different county leader other than Vito Lopez do in that position? And who would you support for county leader?
Well, I think that there's been a new generation of leadership coming out of Central Brooklyn over the last few years. Ever since Clarence Norman, Vito Lopez's predecessor, was indicted on charges of corruption and convicted, in fact. And as some of your listeners may know, three of the last four leaders of the Brooklyn Democratic Party have been indicted on charges of corruption, and our current leader is under constant investigation. What I believe is we have a new generation of leadership in Central Brooklyn, people like Hakeem Jeffries and Tish James, the assemblyman and city councilwoman from Fort Greene and Clinton Hill, Assemblyman Kareem Kamara, State Senator Eric Adams. These are new types of politicians who are working with their communities day in and day out. They will be, one of them would be a great county leader for Brooklyn in the 21st century, who could unite diverse constituencies, who would be engaging their constituents on a regular basis. Brooklyn is the largest county in New York State. We have one registered Republican for every eight registered Democrats. All but one of our 53 elected officials across the borough is a Democrat. We live in a one-party state, and our one party is corrupt.
All right. Lincoln, we're going to have to leave it there. We didn't know you were calling in, but we thank you for calling in. And, of course, if Vito Lopez wants to call in, we'll take the call. Guys, I mean, what do you think? Did he say anything of substance there? Did he confirm just the fact that he's an insurgent?
I mean, I think the number of times he referenced the phrase, you know, next generation, new generation, is not a, you know, not an accident. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a lot of this talk about people being too old, it's our turn, and that sort of stuff. And you know what? People, you know, oftentimes they like shiny new toys, and they like the idea of something different. But he said town hall forums, you know, voter registration drives. So that's something people can look forward to, more public events to be engaged with. And the idea that, you know, quote, like, you know, voters have not been heard? I mean, it would be nice to hear specifically what projects, what events, you know, what political decisions does he think the organization had not listened to voters on?
David, I think you kind of ask, how will regular people's lives change, or, you know, make it real for me? I don't know if you got a sense of that, but how will they change if, you know, new Democratic Party district leaders are elected?
On a very, very attenuated from that vote for district leader. I mean, basically, you vote for district leader, they end up maybe voting for a different county leader, then the county organization supports a different person for the city council or the state assembly, and that's the difference. I mean, in terms of your garbage, you know, getting your abandoned car towed away, that kind of thing, I just don't see these are local party positions. They don't really do constituent services.
Even if Vito Lopez somehow loses his role as party leader, he could still very well be elected back to the state assembly. He's a very powerful assemblyman. He does the housing committee there. Is there an argument he could make that residents of that his constituents should want him to be party leader because he could get more services for them if he has that position?
Well, I'm sure he does make that argument. It's worth noting he's actually running unopposed for the assembly again. He does, though, have a district leader challenge for the first time, as far as anyone knows, a fellow by the name of Esteban Duran. Lopez tried to knock Duran off the ballot, sent his lawyers to court, lost, appealed the decision, lost again. So he will, for the first time, there will be an alternative to Lopez on the ballot.
Yeah. One thing that Lopez had said last year during a race where he was supporting someone against Diana Reyna, the city councilwoman who had actually worked for him at one point, that they had a falling out. He had said, you know, there is a tension and there's something not working in this apparatus. We have a political community that usually works very well together except for this one person. And therefore, if you elect someone different, I, the other city council members, the state legislative representative, we all get along. And therefore, we can bring back resources to the community. He sort of made the argument before that if everyone is, quote unquote, like on the same team, mm-hmm. the community benefits because everyone lines up their agenda. And when there is discord in that community, when there is a insurgent, someone who he's having a feud with, you see development projects get opposed. You see protests. You see people, you know, holding up the agenda of whoever they're opposing. And that sort of happens. That's the check and balance that people like to see in democracy.
So that argument isn't a rage against the political machine argument. It's we're going to make the machine run better and more efficiently.
Right.
And I guess the assumption is even though there's a huge disproportionate number of registered Democrats versus Republicans, especially in Brooklyn, that Democrats are the ones who are going to the polls and they want a well-run Democratic machine.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yes, and you got to remember, it's not just what is happening within Brooklyn that the Brooklyn Democratic Organization is concerned about. They are actually vying for power against the Queens Democratic County Organization, the one in Manhattan that I think still exists, or you can argue that point. They sort of jockey each other when there's a new position for the city council speaker. When that comes up, the political party is sort of jockeying
right.
who's going to get which position. So it's not just within Brooklyn, but it's also what's happening throughout the city
but
and the
state. But how does all that stuff – I understand who's elected council speaker is important, but how does all that stuff when the different boroughs are fighting against each other affect the lives of regular citizens?
You know, these are very deep in the weeds political battles. I mean, involving personality feuds that sometimes seem to go back generations. I mean, it matters if the speaker of the city council comes from your borough. I think that probably is you're able to bring resources back. But in a lot of the cases, I mean, I think it's understandable if New Yorkers are disengaged from some of these fights. I mean, they do. It's just internal warfare, I think, in a lot of cases.
In fact, do you have any idea what the turnout on some of these votes are? Likely to be in the low thousands?
There might be more people in this room than are voting.
We're a huge swing block, you're saying?
We are, possibly. But you really have to be engaged and want to follow these kind of narratives to see the connection. You know, who the city council speaker is gets determined a lot in large part by who the county leaders end up supporting. And county leaders, if they have the support within their delegation, they could say, I have 5 votes, I have 9 votes, and we're going to put this thing together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the city council speaker, based on some of those agreements, helps decide who gets to be a chairman of different committees and when you have an issue like term limits, then everyone starts realizing, wait, how did this person get to that committee and all that kind of stuff?
And just as evidence that they are important, I know we're saying a little bit lost in the weeds and it is nitty gritty stuff. Very powerful people want their approval. You know, Hillary Clinton vies for the approval of the county leaders when she's running for president, for instance.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, the power of the county parties has diminished greatly, I think, in recent years. In many ways, it's a remnant to a sort of clubhouse style of politics. It just doesn't exist anymore, or maybe only exist here, you know, sort of in the outer boroughs. But, you know, and especially as the political clubhouses have lost some of their power. So I think, yes, people still want the support of Brooklyn and Queens and the county parties, but I think they want it less and less. I think it matters less and less.
We've been talking mostly about Brooklyn. Any other borough to focus on, any other Republican or Democrat? Anything interesting going on elsewhere?
I find Manhattan Democratic Party politics interesting because everyone wants to be a regular Democrat, but they also want to be reformers, and there's a nice little tension there.
Yeah, in Brooklyn, the district leaders have more power because in most places it's split between district leader and state committee. And in Brooklyn, they do both offices, so you just elect them to one office.
All right. I think that we're going to leave it there. All right. We do not have a call. My bad. So Manhattan is looking for reform. Is there like a Vito Lopez type challenger or anyone legitimate who is the district leader in Manhattan, first of all? And
the Democratic county leader in Manhattan is Keith Wright. Now, what's happening that's very interesting in that part of the world is you have a Charlie Rangel seat, which, you know, if he gets reelected, many people expect that this will be his last reelection. And in the near future, you may see someone else running for that seat with him not being there. And Keith Wright is one of the people who's considered a leading candidate for it in the near future.
And what's the reform? Is there true reform, or are they talking about?
Well, you know, when you go to Chelsea, when you go to Soho, when you go to all these different places, a lot of the Democratic clubs talk about reform, progressive, you know, transparency issues. But then you get the idea that we're also within the party and we want to support the party. So there's always a little tension about how that works.
All right. Ozzie Pabura. Did I get it?
You got it.
All right, Ozzie. We finally meet. WNYC's own Ozzie Paber and New York Observer's David Friedlander. Thanks, you guys, for coming in.
Thank you.
Back in a moment, talk about Barnes & Noble on the Upper West Side closing.